I came home last night and had a pamphlet, actually two pamphlets, in my letterbox, warning me against giving the COVID-19 vaccine to my children. And journalist David Farrier, who has been on the path of misinformation and conspiracy theory for the last few years, has just written about the latest leaflet drop in Auckland. It comes from a fringe disinformation group known as Voices of Freedom. And he noticed something, as I did, noticed something interesting in the top right corner of the leaflet. David Farrier joins us now. Tēnā koe, David.
Hi, Jesse. I think everybody in Auckland and probably around New Zealand got one of these leaflets in the letterbox.
Well, that's an interesting side note. So who's paying for them?
Yeah, I'm looking into that at the moment. There's a lot of money behind this, and my take is that it is a couple of well-financed individuals, but they're not clear on who's behind the money. We know that Voices for Freedom was founded by Claire Deakes, who was a failed political party candidate for the Advance New Zealand Party, and a couple of people from New Zealand's knitting community. So they're the ones behind the group. And yeah, they're just constantly putting out, they're very clear communicators, very smart, putting out these leaflets that look semi-sane in a lot of letterboxes around the country.
Who would have thought it, eh? The old knitting networks are being put to good use.
Yeah, knitting is a weirdly, both in the United States and New Zealand, is a weirdly, there's a draw card there for some not so great people. Not all knitters, but there's this very strange element to them that are incredibly
I haven't
have
seen the not all knitters
some
hashtag
issues.
yet, but let's see if we can get it trending. Okay, your concern when you saw this leaflet, and by the way, you do a great job of keeping up with what's going on in New Zealand, seeing you live in California, but the thing that stood out to you was what looked like the stamp of approval from a neutral organization. I was going to call it a, how do we
I don't
call
know
it
if you, I don't know
the
if
ASA?
neutrals.
Yeah.
I mean, the Advertising Standards Authority kind of makes out that it is a very objective outside group, but really it's a self-regulating body for the advertising industry. It's there so that the ad industry feels good about itself. They also hold very little power. And, you know, it's one thing when they're making decisions on an ad for a toaster, for instance. If people complain that the toaster didn't do the job in the ad, they might complain and find rule in their favor. But the difficulty is, you know, they're also looking into these lobby groups, and the rulings are much more liberal. And so, yeah, what happened is there's been three formal complaints to the ASA over Voices for Freedom pamphlets. Two of them were upheld. So basically, the ASA said, "Hey, you can't distribute these things. They are full of misinformation. Don't do it." But on one of their pamphlets, back in July, the ASA basically went through and ruled that the complaint that it was full of disinformation was not upheld. And what I found really interesting going through that complaint from the ASA is that they went through all of Voices for Freedom's points, which were factually incorrect, and agreed with them. So I went through all the points with a doctor who regularly polices COVID disinformation, and yeah, found that basically the ASA was giving a big thumbs up to all the disinformation that Voices for Freedom were saying. And of course, Voices for Freedom on their new pamphlet have taken that as a tick of approval and branded their new leaflet with it.
Right, and this is significant because we are told when we're getting information about COVID-19 to get it from official neutral sources, and the ASA definitely looks like one of those, your misgivings aside.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you like to think that when the ASA rules that something is, you know, it doesn't uphold a complaint, it's essentially saying it's legitimate. You would hope that that does hold some water. But, you know, going through these six claims, you know, an incorrect claim from Voices for Freedom was that mask wearing doesn't reduce infection rates. You know, that's completely incorrect. There's plenty of evidence from multiple organizations that state why that is incorrect. But, you know, the ASA just sort of said, yeah, that's okay. We're going to give that the thumbs up. And what's interesting about the way the ASA works when they look at complaints is that they only look at evidence as supplied by the entity that's being complained about. Okay. So Voices for Freedom supplied the ASA with all their sources. So, of course, the ASA was said in their ruling, hey, the sources are here. That's what they say. So we give it the thumbs up. And that's incredibly frustrating.
Well, what should the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, do in a situation like this where the stakes are high? You know, should they be calling an independent expert to assess statements of fact in advertising?
I would like to think that they could possibly get a medical doctor in to look at these claims if they're going to go through and look at medical claims. I think there's a big difference between analysing an ad for a toaster and analysing, you know, statements about a pandemic. I'd also like to see them get a bit more of a backbone. I mean, the thing with the ASA is they get incredibly worried around freedom of expression. They also don't want to be sued by anybody. You know, these are a group of private individuals that run this thing. They want to give a semblance that advertising is legitimate and policed. But when it comes to any sort of advocacy, where opinions are thrown in, and of course, facts are also thrown in, they just don't have the impetus to step in and actually say anything real. So you get these really wishy-washy results like this one, which is then used by this disinformation group to legitimize their next mass pamphlet drop, which is just bonkers, Jesse. It really is.
You have taken this to the ASA. You've also read through the decision on our behalf. And what have you concluded then? What's gone wrong with the process here?
I think the process that the Advertising Standards Authority uses to merely look at evidence as given to them by the entity that's being complained about is ridiculous. And if they're going to be ruling on medical misinformation and ruling incorrectly and publishing that on their website as a complaint, I think it's ridiculous. I think the board needs to take a very strong, hard look at itself. And I think New Zealanders need to be aware of what the Advertising Standards Authority is and how little power it actually wields. They're getting a lot of complaints about these newsletters, but they have no power to enforce any of their decisions, even when they do rule against these pamphlet drops. So, yeah, it's frustrating that they're not the system that I think a lot of New Zealanders think they are.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be the only industry in which that was the case, in which arbitration or adjudication was carried out by representatives of the industry. In fact, with radio, if I say something somebody objects to, they complain to the Broadcasting Standards Authority, which I understand is made up by members of the radio and broadcasting industries. It's not just the advertising industry that has this perceived flaw or potential for self-regulation gone wrong.
No, and again, when rulings are brought down on media matters, usually fines are very minimal and consequences aren't huge in exactly the same way. But I think it's just a reminder, really, that, you know, we need to be super vigilant. There are a lot of these fires around. And, you know, we've just seen a case this week of an ex-journalist who passed away from COVID, who, you know, in the final months of his life was regularly posting disinformation on Facebook. And if someone like that gets a leaflet from Voices for Freedom, I can't help but think that is just going to back up their, you know, patently false perspectives and, you know, idea of what reality is, and will lead to people dying. I mean, these leaflets are awful because they are filled with information that can potentially lead to people passing away from COVID. So it's frustrating when the ASA literally goes through these six bits of disinformation and gives them the big thumbs up in an official ruling saying that, hey, the evidence is here to back up these claims. When in fact, if you look at that evidence, it's either ridiculously outdated or just simply from a source that doesn't hold up.
Just out of interest, David, I've noticed, as you'd expect, and you probably do as well, I get a lot of correspondence from people on matters like this. I've noticed they often sound the same. They say the same sorts of things. And I wonder if this is something you've noticed as well. There's a real urgency around the idea of why aren't the media asking the right questions? You know, who's got the courage? People cannot believe that the stuff that they're reading on Facebook is not being reflected in the media. Is that a known, I guess, feature of the syndrome, and something you've come across as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about people, you know. I heard from someone the other day who spoke, you know, emailed me saying, you know, their parents are completely down this rabbit hole. They're spending 6 hours on Facebook a day doing their own research. And, you know, these are echo chambers. So the language gets very similar. A lot of it has been weirdly co-opted from the QAnon movement over in the United States. If people are on Telegram, the language gets even more similar. And of course, like any good conspiracy theory, the media is always in on it, along with the government and other powers that be. So it's the same old thing, just repackaged, and the language is all very, very similar. And of course, even us having this conversation, there'll be people listening to this going, of course, they're in on it. Of course, they'll be saying this because we're getting paid allegedly a lot of money from somebody. I'm not sure who. I'm still waiting for my check to arrive in the mail.
Okay, I look forward to cashing in with you. David Farrow, thanks very much. Really appreciate you, your investigation into this, and keep us posted.
Thanks, Jesse.
David Farrow, he has the Webworm Substack. If you want to look him up, he writes on this sort of issue quite regularly and with good sense.